Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, December 10th, 2014. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the life, the times, and the experience of Ashton Carter, who is President Obama's nomination to succeed Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense. Who is this man who, if confirmed, will be in charge of almost $1 trillion budget and some 2.4 million personnel, some of them perhaps your sons and daughters? Who is he? Where did he come from? How did he gain this nomination? How did he get to such a high position? Well, he was born September 24th, 1954, so he is 60 years old. He has a bachelor's degree in physics and medieval history from Yale University. He has a doctorate in theoretical physics from Oxford University, granted in 1979, where he was a Rhodes Scholar. He was also a physics instructor at Oxford, a postdoctoral fellow at Rockefeller University and at MIT, and has been on the faculty of Harvard University. He is, as far as I know, the second Rhodes Scholar in the Obama defense establishment. Susan Rice, National Security Advisor, also a Rhodes Scholar. So he is obviously very educated and very bright. How did he end up with this nomination? To find that out, we take a brief look at his life. I discovered that while he was on the faculty of Harvard University, he was co-director of the Preventive Defense Project run by Harvard and Stanford jointly. While at Harvard, he wrote his own faculty career profile. And we learn from that profile that as a youngster, he worked and earned his way. So we read about his life from his own words. Quote, high school in Philadelphia left me hungry intellectually. I attended a large public school with thousands of students. In the afternoon, I had sports practice and games every season. Then in the evenings and weekends, I worked at various jobs. First, I worked at a car wash, age 11. 11 was the earliest age at which you could get working papers in Philadelphia. I was shortly fired from my first job for wise-mouthing the owner. In subsequent years, I worked pumping gas and repairing cars at a gas station on North Broad Street, pumping gas for 29.9 cents per gallon as an orderly in a hospital, as a mate on a fishing boat, and even as a counselor on a suicide prevention hotline. I had little time for myself, and even less to do the reading and research that I was craving. Therefore, when I rather unexpectedly was accepted into a good college, Yale, I was determined to make the most of it. I disdained the preppies and other privileged students who seemed to regard college as an opportunity to enjoy freedom at long last. I was an intensely serious student that would probably be called today a grind. At Yale, I ended up pursuing two entirely different majors, physics and medieval history. There was no relationship between them in my mind, except that both fascinated me. I liked dusty archives, learning to decipher manuscripts in medieval script, and learning all the languages necessary to read the primary and secondary historical literature, especially Latin. I wrote a senior thesis on the use of Latin by contemporary monastic writers to describe the vibrant world of 12th century Flanders in which they lived. I also enjoyed English legal history and the foundations of common law as established in the 11th through 13th centuries. I also did a lot of work on the hagiography of Saint Denis, patron saint of the French monarchy during its formative period in the 9th century. Physics was entirely different, clean and modern, logical and mathematical. I was lucky enough to be asked by a professor to assist him on an experiment in elementary particle physics at the then new Fermilab outside of Chicago, home of the world's largest particle accelerator. I would fly back and forth from New Haven to Chicago, feeling very serious and very important. We were involved in the search for the quark, a subatomic particle then only theorized. I eventually wrote my senior thesis, which was later published on the charmed quark, end quote. So, from Mr. Carter's own words, we learn a great deal about him. We learn that he is a serious student, that he worked as a young man, that he liked the dusty archives, he likes studying, he likes the books. So we establish that Ashton Carter, a hard-working man and a brilliant man. Now let's look at some other things. What got him this job? What experience does he have? In 1993, Mr. Carter was appointed by fellow Rhodes Scholar Bill Clinton as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy, responsible for policy regarding the former Soviet states, strategic affairs, and nuclear weapons. Mr. Carter was Deputy Secretary of Defense from October 2011 to 2013. He was confirmed unanimously by the United States Senate for both Pentagon positions. So he has been Assistant Secretary of Defense under two different presidents. The media reports on Mr. Carter leave some questions unanswered as to why President Obama chose to replace Chuck Hagel with Ashton Carter right at this moment. Al Jazeera reported that, quote, Carter is an interesting choice for the position because Hagel was reportedly forced out for the reason that the U.S. needed someone with a different set of experiences. But Carter does not have a lot of experience in the Middle East, where the Islamic State of Syria and the Levant poses one of the biggest challenges faced by the military at this moment, end quote. The Washington Post said Carter has more experience as a technocrat than as a wartime leader. Finally, folks, what can we expect from Ashton Carter? Well, my own suspicion is that he has not been appointed to lead war in the Middle East. While he was Deputy Secretary of Defense, he was the loudest voice in the Obama administration protesting the automatic limits to defense spending increases under the sequester in the 2011 Budget Control Act. He's a Soviet expert and a nuclear technology and weapons expert and a big supporter of the so-called, quote, pivot to Asia. Now he moves to head the Pentagon at a time when Republican neocons will run both houses of Congress. If you are a stock market investor, folks, consider getting in on the big defense contractors. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.